basically the good news of the gospel. So home mission is about each one of us understanding the truth that we have received God's love and continue to receive it to the point where we just have to give it away. We can't help ourselves. We must go and tell somebody. We want to share it because we're so thrilled and enthusiastic that all we want to do is shout about it from the rooftops so that everyone will hear and receive it for themselves. That's fine where we can actually approach somebody, and that is so satisfying. But today we're trying to understand global mission, to see how to give that love away beyond our locality or beyond those with whom we live and know, to the millions of people around the globe that we know are there but don't actually know as individuals. It's a bit like litter, isn't it? We all drop a sweet paper and then we're wading through the stuff, and the most we can do is to pick up a few pieces. And so it is with global mission. There are thousands and thousands of people who have never heard the good news. How can we possibly reach them? And that's the challenge. And so today, we are trying to learn how to do that. I suspect that some of you were possibly brought up like me with an understanding that the church sent brave people to live in underdeveloped countries to share the gospel and set up church communities that would grow and multiply, a sort of British Empire of the Church of England. And when I was at school, we had visits from overseas bishops attending the 1960 Lambeth Conference, who were predominantly white Englishmen, who lived in faraway places and brought the gospel to foreign people who spoke different languages and dialects. Some men had studied these languages and translated the scriptures into those foreign tongues. Men like Nigel Cornwall, the Bishop of Borneo, who grew up in Hampshire and just heard God call to go. Michael Mann, who recently retired as Bishop of Honshu in Japan and had come home after 12 years in post-war Japan, spreading the gospel in a country that was devastated both spiritually and physically. They were all schoolboy heroes, not just to me, but to most of my compatriots, and they were doing amazing things because of their love for Jesus. And nearer home, a young man from All Saints, who was a little older than me, who went to agricultural college, and then heard God call him to go to Argentina. And he went out to the Chaco, or the jungle, a horrendous landscape, and taught the locals how to be farmers so they could grow their own food. Later, God called him to be ordained. And so while he was out there, he trained for ministry and later became the first Archbishop of South America and now lives in quiet retirement in Birmingham. Today, most of the bishops are out there who are, most of the bishops in overseas countries are indigenous, they're locals. I can think of about two English bishops in the whole of the Anglican Communion now who are overseas. And that's just as it should be. Times change, and it's right that people should be led by local leaders. But very few of us were able to go and help, so we supported their good works with money and forgot all about them once we'd made the donation, unless they happened to appear in our church for some reason. So it was very long distance and very remote. But times have changed, and most of their successors are indigenous people, but fast international travel and communications above all things have made it much easier for us to be supportive in a meaningful way. The message is the same. We need to spread the good news. And Lydia spoke also last week about the essential ingredient of mission being what we might call acts of compassion and kindness, education, pastoral care, love in action before we preach. Actions speak louder than words. Words are important, but there's a definite process. To try and help you get a little better idea of this, I've indulged in new technology this morning. We all have to come to it eventually. And I'm going to show you a short video by an evangelist called J. John. He was brought up in this country of Greek parents. He has quite a flamboyant style. He sounds a bit camp, but I can assure you he's a very normal guy. Has written some excellent books. And this is an interview with him on a TV station called the Bible Network. So let's just listen to J. John.
People often say to me, they say, J. John, what do you do? It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport, and I said, hello. And she said, well, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, how do you? I said, we've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. I said, we do marriage work, we've got orphanages, we've got feeding programs, educational programs. I said, we do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death. And we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow! It was so loud, her wow. Loads of people turned around and looked at us. She said, what's it called? I said, it's called the church.
I wonder if you've ever thought that you're members of a global enterprise. It does rather bring it home to us, doesn't it? And I commend you to remember that next time you're on an aeroplane or in a train. Go for it. It's interesting that they were both going overseas. It's interesting that he described us as being in the area of behavioural alteration. That's what it's about, guys. And somehow we have to be much more involved in the global enterprise than the little branch in Loughton. Good though it is, meaningful though it is, there is a huge, huge, vast number of people out there who need to hear the good news, just as the people of Loughton do. And as followers of Jesus, we are part of that movement. Are we ready? Are we ready to answer that charge? I think we are ready, even if we don't all feel it. And so we have to find ways of doing that will make a difference not just to those people, but indeed to us. We can all support mission agencies either through St. Mary's or as individuals. There are many to choose from, and they range from the more traditional agencies like Church Mission Society through to specialist agencies like Open Doors, who seek to bring hope to persecuted Christians, to relief agencies like Tear Fund, who we also support, or those who halt to seek people trafficking. It's interesting that slavery was abolished, but slavery is alive and well. Nothing changes, and we have to abolish it again. All these agencies have one thing in common. They first seek to love and then to share Jesus. Because it's their faith and experience of knowing Jesus and what a huge difference he makes to them, that they want to give it away, this gift of love, just as we do locally and just as we must do globally. And as Christians, we all have that passion somewhere in our being, and we have to rediscover it because it's exciting, it's powerful, it's life-changing. We have to rediscover that passion to share what we have. We all have lives centered on Jesus. Our family, our jobs, our wider circle of friends and interests. But it is almost as if there is a golden thread running through all of it, which means that whatever we're doing and whoever we're with still makes us want to share that good news, to give that love away. And we need to do it to the point where everybody says to us, "Why are you like this? Why do you want to share this love? What is this love?" And when that happens, believe you me, it's very easy to tell people. So where do those two readings come in? Well, the second one is clearly about healing on the Sabbath, and is really the subject of another sermon. What are we allowed to do on God's day? Well, we're certainly allowed to love people and heal people. But the first passage was about the things that are wrong in the world. And just to remind you, I'm going to read it in a modern version. This is the kind of fast day I'm after, to break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace, to free the oppressed, to cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is share your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You call out for help, and he'll say, "Here I am." If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You will be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, to rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You will be known as those who can fix anything. Restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate. Make the community livable again. And if you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, If you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a day of celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, God says so. So that's what we need to be doing, because it will benefit everyone and us. And you say, well, we've got plenty of that at home, thank you very much. Why should we be doing it overseas? To which I would simply say, why not? We can make an effort to spread the good news and to love the world in all places. Our relationship with God is personal. We constantly say this. So it is possible today to forge a personal relationship with those who go overseas to spread the good news. I'm wearing what I call my mission shirt today, which I bought after returning home from Kenya 10 years ago. It reminds me of the time we spent as a family with brothers and sisters in Kenya. It was a significant time for all sorts of reasons, but most importantly, it gave us a feeling of belonging and sharing in our Christian faith with other churches. Somebody said to me, so you're going to smell the coffee, are you? Actually, that's a wonderful way of thinking about it, because it isn't until you smell coffee that you know what it's like. And so short-term mission trips, which is what we were on, are so important. If you have the strength and the energy, and to some extent the wherewithal, but don't let that be a complete hindrance, find out about short-term missions. Go and smell the coffee somewhere else in the world, and you will have a much wider view of mission, a much wider view of God's love and how to give it away. So the message today for St. Mary's is widen the vision and widen the mission. It's what we've been commanded to do, and with God's grace, it will enlarge our love for our brothers and our love for God. Amen.
Going to be led in prayer in just a moment. I'd